salvation. You have to understand what righteousness means. It is the reason why he will tell them, they shall none be barren or cast their young amongst you. No, you have to understand the use of righteousness. We have to explain it very, very well. If you go to a place like, I think Psalm 134, God will be describing a righteous man. Okay, now, I think I quoted the wrong place. I wanted to read something. I'm not sure where it is right now. It was talking about that you should mark the righteous man. That what I want to emphasize from there is that he will tell you something like, a man who fears the Lord, this is how God blesses him. Do you understand how divine I make? That he said, mark the righteous man. His seed shall be great upon the earth. That is, it's a mark of righteousness for your descendants to be great. Do you follow what I want to say? That is, not just your descendants, but anything that you produce, that you release into the earth, must be great. It's a sign of righteousness. So God is saying, what God is saying here is that if a man will attain into this position of glory, in this dispensation, it will come only one way. And that is how? Through the faith that is in Christ Jesus. That's the point I'm trying to come to. That is, if any man believes in Christ, indeed, he is a man that has been fortified by the righteousness of God, and he can face any battle on this earth that God has sent him into. And no human being can stand against him successfully. I hope you are getting the point I'm trying to build up this evening. That is, Jesus died not just as it were to he died for sin, quite alright, but more importantly to produce a crop of people that have been certified by God. You know, you have NAFDAC approval. This one, I have approved them that they are good for battle. Do you understand the point I'm trying to make? That is, when you walk around on the earth, you should know righteousness does not mean that you see that five naira is not my own, so as a righteous man I will not take it. Yeah, is it that money? They were sharing the money. I didn't take it. You know what? I'm a righteous man. God says I'm righteous of God, so I don't do anything wrong. That's not what he's saying. Righteousness means that if I'm crossing the road and I forget to look, no car can kill me now. You understand how the point I'm trying to make? That I can't die at this season. Righteousness means that they will tell you that meningitis has entered town. I remember then I was in Lagos. They said this one is very deadly. Very, very deadly. Everyone's going to take vaccination. I just turned my back. I went to my apartment. Why? People were running, everyone leaving work, rushing to go and take meningitis. I said, God forbid that I should join the stampede to go and take cerebrospinal meningitis vaccine. Why? I heard the name meningitis and I ran. I said, God forbid that when meningitis hears that Banky is coming, he should go and take vaccine. Oh, rubbish is that. That meningitis is coming. I'm now running because meningitis has come. I said, no, I will not fear, I will not be dismayed. I'm not saying taking vaccination is wrong. That's not what I'm saying. But you might go, hey, this is deadly. Everybody go now. I said, no, I'm not going anywhere. Let it come and kill me. Let me see. The meningitis that will kill me has not yet been invented by the devil. That is the meaning of righteousness. I hope you are getting the point I'm making. Let me tell you this story. This man, John G. Lake, I read a bit widely, so as I have a number of stories to tell you. John G. Lake was nursing patients that were dying of pneumonic plague. They said, take vaccine. He said, it's not necessary. In case you don't understand, I like the words he used. He said that my spirit is connected to the spirit of God. And that my spirit is wired to my brain. And all my nerves are wired to my brain. So that the supply of the spirit passes from my brain down to my nerves to all my skin. So that any bacterium that touches it dies. And they said that they thought the man was joking. So he told them to try it. They put, I think, secretions from people who were just dying from plague on his skin and examined under the microscope. All the bacteria were dead. They became immortal. Are you getting the point I'm trying to make? That is, righteousness, the Bible says, delivers from death. Let's say I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Doesn't mean that I don't see 5 naira. I'm not saying you should see 5 naira. But I'm saying that is not what God is trying to say. I'm saying that God says that if I send you to the midst of epidemic, don't be afraid. That you will just look that I have the breastplate of righteousness. There is no weapon that is fashioned against me that can prosper. Simple. That is what righteousness means. And that by that, a man now enters into the place of God's glory. That's actually where we are going to. That is because I am not afraid of death. Remember what he said? There are people because of the fear of death. They have been held in bondage all their lives. I mean, you know white garment churches? You know what they call white garment churches? Celestial Church of Devil. Of It's the Chebeza Church of the Spirit, Evil Spirit. It's Jeroboam and Seraphim, all those clownish places. They hold men in bondage. Did I tell you the story about a man I met once? I had a friend who was teaching in their Bible school. They actually have a Bible school. One in Antonio in Lagos. So when I go to visit my friend, there's this 504 I used to see parked there. So he pointed to me that 504 is owned by one Ghanaian. That this Ghanaian man says he has found salvation in this church. He was a single man, successful businessman that only buys brand new 504s. That's the only car he used to drive. He had a duplex in Aguda, Sweden, in Lagos. He couldn't sleep there. Why? Because they told him that his fortification against the evil spirits that were trying to kill him before he came to them was in sleeping in church. So this man used to sleep on hard pews every night. No, not stories they told me. I will see him arrive when I go to visit my friends. My friend will tell me that he has come. And that the man is so happy sleeping on bench when he has bed in the house. And he thinks he's protected. The day he will know deliverance is the day a man of God comes to him, like Thomas Ayomu told us his story. The one man, his business was dying because one of those white garment people said they have seen a vision that he must not use Lagos Ibadan Express. The man's family was in Ibadan and business was in Lagos. Yet they said he must never enter Lagos Ibadan Express. That the day he enters, that day he shall die. So his salvation is in being in church all the time and not going by. Of course he was poor. Wife was hungry. Children were hungry. They couldn't go to school. They didn't have money. And somebody said, let me show you true salvation. I'm going to this man of God. So the man of God just said, don't worry. Go about your business. I have commanded you. Just go and come back. So the man went and came back. And of course, look, he didn't even pray for his business. He just said, you can go. And of course, he didn't die. Okay, he now became an ardent follower of Bishop Oyedepo, I mean, the Winner's Chapel. Because that is what the Bible talks about, delivering those who were held in bondage all their lives. There are people who can't do, look, they can't do anything. Why? Because the roads are dangerous. You know, ambulance are always killing people. But when you understand righteousness, I say, look, if it flies by day, it will come near me. If 1,000 falls by my left and 10,000 by my right hand, doesn't matter. Anybody that shoots against me, I don't know how God will do it, but the bullets must go around and enter back into his heart. In the look, I don't pray God forgive them. Why should you forgive them? The man shot at me. Don't forgive him. Kill him there. For you to forgive him, you should have not allowed him to come to my house. My house is not the den of forgiveness for unbelievers. So you will go to church. In my house is judgment. When thy judgment upon the earth, O God, the inhabitants thereof, they learn righteousness. What nonsense forgiveness is that? I'm telling you the truth. Because it's instant. I pray that kind of dangerous prayer. Lord, contend. When David was praying, you think he was not praying out of revelation? Lord, contend with those that contend with me. If they swing one blow in my direction, give them a divine blow. They will know that blow pass blow. Do you understand the point I'm making? That's the meaning of righteousness. Righteousness doesn't mean that, see that brother, he doesn't tell lies. That's not what it means. Righteousness means that, the last thief that tried his door, we found his right leg there amputated. We don't know what caught it. That is righteousness. So thief not to jump in the window again. No matter how wicked men think he is, that is righteousness. Are you getting my point? Now, when a man has been so delivered, then God said, now, that is, he doesn't have fear of anything. Now he can take up any challenge. You get what I'm saying? It's not only fear of armed robber or gunshot or falling from a height. There are people who are afraid of poverty. Do you know that? I am so thankful to God. That is one area that I have more faith than any other area that I know of. I am not afraid of poverty at all, in any form. Let me tell you what I'm saying. So, if you are not afraid of poverty, you make very good judgment. There are those that don't belong in Lagos. It is clear to them in their heart that God does not want them there. But they think that prosperity resides in Lagos. That if I make the mistake of coming down to Oka, I will die a poor man. Because of the fear of death. Again, you have to understand that death does not just mean you lie down and you don't breathe again. Death is a spiritual force that causes men to fail. Do you understand my point? That is, when death entered the earth, God said to Adam, the earth will no longer yield its increase for you. That is death.
So the men look and think that, if I leave that Lagos, I'm dead. Or if I don't get an American visa, you know, God, I know God's address in Washington, D.C., so I intend to go and see God there. Fear of poverty. But if you don't have that fear, your mind is open. God said, this one, I have planted you to invent something in Igbojobo. There's one village near Benin called Igbojobo. You understand? But that's where I want it to be. From there, men will pay pilgrimage to your doorsteps. That is, from Australia, they will come and see that man. The man will have done it, but he's afraid of poverty. And you know, I was preaching the other day in church, and I made a statement. I didn't even know when I said it. But after I said it, I realized that this is the Spirit of God. I said, you never decide what God wants to do by what is going on around you. You decide it by what he's saying to you. Do you get my point? That is, your environment don't judge accurately what God is about to do in your life. Except God tells you, watch out for this sign. You understand what I'm trying to say? If he tells you that when you see horsemen in pairs, then shout, Babylon is falling. What you are obeying actually is the word of God, not horsemen in pairs. Just that is a sign that God commanded for you to watch out for. You understand what I'm saying? Otherwise, your environment cannot tell you what God is about to do in your life. How you know what God is going to do in your life is by words that he speaks to you. That's what you have to understand very clearly. You understand my point? So men who are afraid of poverty look to good areas. You know, a good example, Abraham and Lot. Abraham was the righteousness. Abraham had the righteousness that God imparted upon him. That was what he had. And by virtue of that righteousness, he had been delivered from the power of death, manifested by poverty. So when contention came, he turned his back, closed his eyes, and said, Lot, choose anywhere. No matter how rich it looks, I will choose the other direction. But I will still prosper. Do you get the point I'm trying to make? I'm explaining that men that God has armed for battle, who can't do anything, it is not because God didn't arm them, but because they turned their back, which was the judgment that God warned Jeremiah against. He said, make sure you are not dismayed before them, because if you are, I will personally disgrace you before them. That is, when a child of God with the knowledge of God's word and this righteousness that we're discussing in Christ Jesus makes judgment because of the fear of poverty, God said, I will ensure that you are poor. You will look for money, you won't find it. That is, it will be swimming on the right, on the left, in front, behind. You won't understand why it will just refuse to drop where you are. That's why I told Jeremiah, see, I have told you ahead of time. You are young, but you are not going by your strength. You will say only the things I tell you to say. I will strengthen you against them. You will be like a fortified city, surrounded with pillars of iron, with walls of brass. That this is how you are going to be. Now, having told you that, when you step out, you will see things that should scare you. But remember, I told you that I have fortified you like this. If you show any fear in front of them, sorry, my brother, I will personally disgrace you in front of them. Jeremiah, I'm not asking you to do many things. Don't learn how to fight. Don't learn anything. Just go and say, thus says the Lord. If they bring a sword, don't shift from the position which you are speaking. If I tell you, go to Jerusalem, go to the mountaintop and declare. If they set the mountain on fire, don't leave the mountaintop. Why? Because around you is a wall of brass. Fire will not penetrate it. That is the commandment I have given you. That's righteousness. Remember, we're talking about following the will of God. As all this one of inner witness and voice of the Spirit, they are not necessary. No, honestly, I was confused by those when I was young. You want to know the will of God? Just pray until your spirit is quiet. Then anything, all those things are unnecessary. There are enough things happening around you to guide you by themselves into the place of the will of God. If only the fear of death will be eradicated from your mind. Do you get the point I'm trying to make? God doesn't always guide people by telling them, Joy, you shall get up and go down the staircase. When this meeting closes, you don't need an angel to tell you to go home. You won't sleep here. My brother will be tickling their umbilical, say, spirit. Spirit is not saying anything. Just go home. Meeting has closed. And God, let me check whether God wants me to go home at this time. Are you crazy? Anytime I get into those, the areas that I get into as a teacher, that I just start talking. If I start talking about sowing and reaping, I get carried away. If I start talking about the leading of the Spirit, I get carried away because I'm irritated by all the rubbish that Christians practice and they call Christianity. Men who are in bondage to the fear of death, they are checking their spirit. Who should I marry? Who should I not marry? Because it's bondage to the fear of death. If the guy had the car, you would not have prayed about it. All this one of I'm praying. It's because the guy doesn't have money. If he had money, now is it true? You don't know. Listen, I'm telling you the truth. No, they are. Now, I was preaching last Saturday, Wednesday in church. I was telling them that as a young man, you know what you need to do to decide the woman God wants to marry? Just share your vision. This is my vision in life. I'm going to invent a drink called Guinness, called the one black bitter stout, and the whole world will drink it. He said, hey, this boy is confused. Just know God has not sent you to her. You don't need to pray for that. Hey, what are you praying about? Get up and go somewhere else. Share the dream with another person. The first woman that says, amen, the Lord is with you. Just carry her and go and marry her. You don't need... I'm telling you the truth, you guys. I'm telling you. I told them in church on Wednesday. That is a fact about life. You prophesy God's vision. Anyone that can't see it, doesn't have your eyes. What can two walk together except they are seeing the same vision? Well, that's the fact of life. I'm telling you the honest truth, the fact of life. God is breeding champions. Let me tell you what. You know, when people tell me that the engagement broke. So what is the problem? That when you are crying, he took away the first so that he can establish the second. Are you stupid? Can't you read the Bible? You should know that you that want to go somewhere far, this fellow can't follow you there. The day Nobel Hayes told his wife he was going to become a preacher, the woman packed a briefcase and walked out, and he has not seen her since. You won't marry that kind of wife. You chase a woman 1 month, 2 months, 3 months, 4 months, she's still praying. Tell her, don't pray again, don't worry. There's no need praying for that. I'm not really interested. What kind of rubbish prayer is that? Share your vision. Anybody that can't see it is not of God. Do you get what I'm saying? If you cannot unite with the vision, you are not of God at all. At all. Look, I told you God is breeding champions. There are things he's taking care of. There are people that the moment they hear the word of God, the engagement will break. And it is of God. God just took the sword. Break the yoke. Be not unequally yoked with an unbeliever. It doesn't mean only somebody doesn't believe in Christ. He doesn't believe in your vision. The person, only to your vision, this person is an unbeliever. He's not believing my vision. So God cuts it. I'm telling the truth. God is raising champions. May you not marry a wife that will wake you up in the morning and explain why you're a useless man. Yesterday the children didn't go to school. You said that God spoke to you. What has God spoken to you done to us now? Better pray that God will either change her mind or kill her for you. I'm telling you the truth though. Because you can enter into glory. Which is where God is trying to take men to. They have to enter into glory on this earth. They have to give glory to the name of God. But if you marry a woman who says that, come let us pray this thing. Together you are declaring the word of God. We have been energized, strengthened. We have the breastplate of righteousness. These people can stand against us. Anybody, when two of you are confessing word like that, your enemies, they are in trouble. Do you get what I'm saying? They know that trouble has come. That the two of them are united. If it was only you praying, you would have knocked down the 10. Two are praying now. 1,000 is going. Do you understand the point I'm making? I told you, God is doing what? Raising champions. That's why we are sharing some of these things. Nigeria is good breeding ground. A bad place is a good breeding ground for good things. Because where sin abounds, sin is not just people are committing sin. Sin is when there's poverty abounding. Grace to produce abundance, much more abounds. That is why majority of multimillionaires come from either very poor homes or very small average homes. Hey, because they gave you everything, there's nothing pushing you to succeed. God, look, I love being a Nigerian. You know what I'm saying? I love the idea. I am a Nigerian. I don't want the British passport at all. I don't want the American one. I swear by Almighty God, people will want to be a Nigerian because of me. That's the meaning of righteousness. That God has prepared to take people
into a place of glory. So first thing he does is to dumb them with the garment of righteousness. That is, I am telling you, their life is hinged onto the faith that they have in Jesus Christ. Should I tell your next truth? Whatever you do, as long as that thing is there strongly, it's inconsequential. I know what I'm saying. That statement I made is deep. I know what I'm saying. That is, if your faith is really... Look, do you know David? David will do things that you thought were wrong. Do you get my point? And you wonder why God didn't judge him. He's judging other people. Righteousness, the Bible says, delivers from death. God has put a stamp on him. Bam, righteous. The guy goes through some things that... anyway, next time I'll talk about divine favor. You will understand that when God is sending you to the place of glory, he sends men along with you. Not people you beg. Next week we'll talk about that. Righteousness that God put, when he was talking about Jesus, he was growing in stature and in favor with God and with men. You will see divine favor upon the life of David. That this place you are going to, look, let me tell you the truth. Some of the things that have blessed me the most in life, people will come to my house and give it to me. Do you understand what I'm saying? That people will come and knock, bank, do you want this? In fact, books or tapes or appointments. They were killing themselves, getting a job. When my wife wanted to start working, that's after she finished service. Because we married when she was a youth copper. Okay, what's going to happen next? I think an AGM or principal manager and you'll be brought an appointment letter to my doorstep at 9 a.m. in the morning. He asked me with his own mouth. Though I intend to ask him because I know him. He said, why doesn't mind working in UB? I said, no. Okay, let me have a CV. Can you get a job? After the interview, he came to my house 9 in the morning, left his office, gave her a hug and gave her an appointment letter at 9 a.m. in the morning. I remember I was in Tyre Rapper. One yellow, one yellow towel was there. I had around my waist. I just married, you know, so as a young married man, first 1 year, you don't go to war. You don't read the Bible. You don't go to war, you stay at home. I was obeying the scriptures. I used to go to work very late. Then I just finished my part two. I just reviewed my project and just relaxed. I'm telling you the truth. You will understand divine favor. They will bring things to your doorsteps. All the struggle that men are struggling. Look, things that you will not even know you needed. I don't want to share some testimonies with you now. Things that just happened in a short while ago. You will know that. Let me just give you an example. I hope my wife won't feel bad because I was very angry what she did. You know, we traveled, she just came back. When I felt I didn't have enough money, so I said, let me collect money from a friend and give him a check so that we couldn't go to the bank. So that she said we had a lot of money. And she entered the market and finished all the money. I didn't know, I thought there was money. Let us go home. Now I entered the filling station, let us buy food. I said, there's no money. Ask her going to drive to Enugu. Did you not tell me so much of the money was really just like, I forgot, I went to the market. But you know the interesting thing? Just before we departed, one man just looked and said, Akinlu, it was your birthday. Did his hand in his pocket and gave him money. That's what I used to pay for fuel. Now, when the man was dashing Akinlu money, I did not know I would need money. Are you following the point I'm making? That is, my point. He dashed the boy money 5 minutes to enter the car. I going on the way. I was on the way. I said, look, I have a meeting to teach at 5, so I didn't have time to greet anybody. They said, eat now. I said, eat. I said, I'm going to teach at 5. Look at the time, 3 hours drive from here to Enugu. So I just entered the car, zoom, enter the filling station. How much are you going to buy? I said, I'm going to fill my tanker. There's no money. Are you joking? Oh, you are kidding me or something? I'm talking about divine people. I'm telling you what I'm saying. That if a man is delivered in his understanding, now if a man understands, it's more like this, that God has delivered him from the fear of death, there is nothing again on this earth that will not make your name great upon the surface of this earth. I'm telling you. Why is anybody killing himself? I have to go to Britain, Ireland, US, Australia, as Nigeria is. Just know this person has not made his choice for greatness. Look, it's not evil. If the guy is looking for money for ticket, contribute. It's better to give. Do you understand? That is, this is the future. You have to, as a man, say no. God plants me somewhere. I am not afraid of any circumstance. I am the champion that God has made. You have to understand what righteousness means. That
The young lions may suffer hunger and lack, but they that fear the Lord will never be in want of anything good. Time has really gone. Next time I will speak on the issue of divine favor. You understand? So you will understand that where you are going, God has already prepared men that will go with you, that will help you. You know, the other day I was studying and I looked at the life of David. You know, I'm beginning to wonder whether he was really physically as strong as Joab and Co. I used to say he was stronger than them. But now I'm wondering whether he was. Remember that Eliab was big. Can you remember Eliab? The first brother. Someone that impressed Samuel with his physique. Was comparing him to Saul in his mind. But when David came, there was nothing like that said about him. He was just a fine small boy. I have a feeling that guy was not physically as strong as them Job, Abishai, all those his men. It appeared like they were not. That he wasn't. I'm not very sure yet. Between now and next time when I'm going to speak, I'll try and do some research. But I just suspect. But men, those guys will risk their lives for him. The man hid in a cave and wanted water. Between the camp of the Philistines was between them and where the water was and around the water. They didn't hide. I thought maybe they snake. The Bible said they broke through the camp of the Philistines to go and fetch water for this man to drink. Why? Because God's favor was upon him. Those men, the Bible said, they helped him greatly. God's champion. God has not sent him alone. There are men that God is preparing. Look, in my life, you know, when we say do this for the future, I said, there are people who are doing it for me now. They will give it to me when the time comes. I know what I'm saying. And I'm not making that statement in an idle fashion. There are things that, Bible says, nations will serve you. I know what I am saying. He told Jacob, he said, your brother Esau will serve you. That is, there are things that you need. God has given the mission to Esau to gather. When it's necessary, he will transfer it to you. Next time we'll talk. But let us get this clear. Righteousness is not a stamp of approval on a man's character. It's that God said, what you have done is pleasing in my sight. And have sent a detachment of angels as spiritual forces to guard you, protect you, ensure you are fruitful in all that you do, to ensure that no harm befalls you, to ensure that everybody that gets up against you falls down. As soon as he gets up, he gets a stroke. I have sent them in your direction. When God does that to a man, that is a stamp, righteousness. I hope you understand that. And it is righteousness that takes a man into the place of excellence, into the place of glory, which we know sin brought him down from. That is a man that is righteous. He won't die before the age of 100. Now, it sounds funny. But I know what I'm saying. Divine purpose. Where God is going. We talked about that the pleasure of God might prosper in his hand. God's pleasure is that at the age of 100, do you hear what I said? 100 years of age. I'm still holding the microphone and teaching. I don't believe in retirement. Have I told you that before? I know. I don't believe in retirement. The day before I finally die, pass away from this earth, in fact, there will be a 3-day seminar. I'll teach day one, day two. Day three is the one I won't come. I said, what happened? You didn't hear? Man of God passed on last night. That is, I would have stood for 1 hour teaching small boys at the age of 101. I've got nobody to believe I'm 100. They think I'm just 65. Because this back ain't going nowhere. This back is going to be straight like this. I'm going to have energy, climb 5 flights of stairs, no troubles. Why? There's what the Bible calls the life of God that makes a man fruitful in his old age. He said, they will be full of sap. They shall be young and full of sap. He said, that's how it is with a righteous man. I don't believe in retire. I'm not going to retire. At all, I'm very happy. I won't work for government for a long time. I will leave their job for them before they can say I should leave. Take it, you're now 65, or you can go home. You are not useless, just like they want to make room for younger people. Go and do your own. I like Timmy Williams for that thing. Timmy the Law. I love that man for that thing. I use him in my mind as an example. Is it something now? Yeah, and the guy is still arguing cases and defeating young men. You get my point. I mean, the guy is still arguing cases that, you know, once the Supreme Court passes a judgment, that is now law. Am I right? Go. So the guy is still helping them write law in Nigeria. And is it something? I will do that till I'm at least 101. Listen, you will say I said so. Because some of you will have to be around and say, I knew this guy almost 70 years ago. He used to say, he said, any day he's doing a seminar, just know he might just die on day 3. Because he said that day 1, day 4, 2, he will come. But he thought that there's no guarantee. I hope you understand what I'm going to say. That is righteousness, my brethren. And that's what I wanted to share with us today. Let us pray.
It is so
given. Let's just give God thanks for the gift of righteousness, which the Bible says came to us in the person of Jesus Christ. That is not by our works. You don't achieve this thing by something that you have done, but because you have taken your life and given it over to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. The Bible says that is how the righteousness of God is revealed in your life. That God has said to you, neither do I condemn you. Now go and sin no more. That is, the way a man will not sin anymore is by walking according to the light that is in Christ Jesus. Walking according to the word of God. Now give God thanks for that gift of righteousness. That a man does not achieve righteousness by his labor. It is not because of good works that he has done. But because God said, you have believed in my son Jesus, therefore I call you righteous. I have my detachment of angels around you. They will keep in all your doings. Oh, when problem comes to the next house, it will jump over yours and go into the next one. It will not come near your own house. That is the gift of righteousness I have given to you. Thank God for that gift of righteousness. It didn't come by your works. Oh, by it, God is taking you into the place of glory. Your life will not be average. You will achieve something great on this earth. You will bless thousands and hundreds of thousands. Men will know that you came. They will know your children and call them blessed because of the Father that they had. That is the meaning of glory. I wanted to give God thanks for that hope of glory. The Bible said this is what it is. The hope of glory is Christ in you. That is, I know glory is coming. How do I know? Because Christ is in me. I wanted to give God thanks for that expectation of glory. That is, there's something great that God is going to do in your life. There is a place that God has marked you out to be the outstanding and excellent person. And to get you prepared for that place, he put Christ in you. And he says, as long as Christ is in you, though your body is weak because of sin, yet the spirit of Christ that is in you will give it life because of righteousness. You have the breastplate of righteousness upon you. It has clothed you like a garment. It's protecting you from all angles. That is what God did for you before sending you to battle. I want to give him thanks for that this evening. Thank you, Father God. To you be all the glory. In the name of Jesus.